Well, we are teaching through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're ready to start chapter 3, so if I can have you turn there tonight. I'm going to focus on nine verses, the first nine verses, jam-packed. I promise you, you're going to learn a ton. And practicality, you talk about good practical help. We see that God uses the Apostle Paul to pin down these inspired words to teach us. Number one, we're going to look at two things. We're going to see Paul's mature reaction to satanic attacks and personal affliction. He responded like a veteran. But then I want to also show you how wonderful the Church of Thessalonica was to him while he was going through these personal attacks and or personal afflictions and satanic attacks. So we're going to learn how to face them when we're going through them. And then we're going to learn how to encourage someone who's facing those things. And so we'll get to see both sides of those coin of the coin. Let's stand tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And we'll read the first nine verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now notice Paul's concern here. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Well, we're going to learn a lot tonight. Heavenly Father, help us to do so. Lord, these things are so important. I believe I'm going to give information that honestly, if the young hearts here would grasp a hold of it, it'll serve them a lifetime. Because affliction, personal affliction and satanic attacks is just part of life. And so it'll serve them a lifetime, both to know how to properly face these things and have a mature reaction to them. And then also, dear God, as we seek to reach out and help and encourage others who are going through these things, Lord, may we be better prepared, more skilled in what we should do and what we should say during these times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. And I love this portion of Scripture. Verses 1 through 5, we see Paul have a very spiritual, a very mature reaction to a personal affliction and personal attack and satanic attack that's going on in his life. I don't know what you're facing here tonight, but you know what? From time to time, if you're trying to do anything for the Lord, he's got, you know what? The Satan's going to put you in the crosshairs. He's going to come at you, or he's going to come at your marriage, or he's going to come at your kids, or he's going to come at your family, he's going to come at your finances. He's going to find some way to try to level an attack against you, because he hates anyone that's trying to do the work of God. Whether it's someone in the pew or someone in the pulpit, it doesn't make any difference to him. If you're trying to serve the Lord, he's going to sooner or later come after you. And so I'm preparing you. Listen, I'm preparing you for the inevitable. If it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. If you're going to serve the Lord, this is part of it. And so I want to have a mature reaction. I don't know of a better example that God could give us in the Bible as far as spiritual maturity than the Apostle Paul. And I love these verses. When I read these first five verses, I read them over, I don't know how many times. I'll bet I read them over a dozen times in a row, just trying to slow down and not just hear the words, but find a door into the heart of this great missionary. And I want to read them now with that thought in mind. Remember, folks, it's not the Thessalonians. You'd think by reading this that it was the people of Thessalonica that was going through personal afflictions. You'd think it was the people of Thessalonica that was suffering satanic attacks. But I want you to notice Paul's concern here. Verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, and that means, that word forbear means we just couldn't stand it any longer. We were so worried, we were so fretful, when we couldn't stand it any longer, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. In other words, we couldn't get leave of God to come to you. Paul said, I couldn't get leave of God to come check on you myself. So, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of God, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Why? That no man should be moved by, notice the word, these afflictions. Now, whose afflictions is he talking about? What do you mean, these afflictions? He's going to go ahead and we're going to find out in the context. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I couldn't stand it. I was worried about me. No, I was worried about you. Why? Because they're having affliction? No, because I'm having affliction. I'm worried that the fact that I'm going through a hard time in some way might shake your faith. I'm worried that because I'm having to suffer personal affliction, it might have, Satan might use it to have an adverse reaction in your life. I'm worried because I'm going through a satanic attack that you might become a victim or get discouraged because of what's happening to me. Now, folks, come on, let's take a step back and let's just, you know, take our hat off, tip our hat. Let's just say, Brother Paul, thank you. We can learn something here. Because, see, Paul's entire heart was not, oh no, woe's me. His entire heart was, if something is happening to me, I'm worried that people who love me, Satan might use this in their life to discourage them or get them off track or to misinterpret what's happening. And you know what? He worried and fretted and worried and fretted and tried to figure out a way to get to them, and he couldn't get leave of the Lord. So he took one of his trusted servants and one of his young men in training, and he said, you go check on them and make sure that they're not being adversely affected by my problems. Imagine that. That's why I entitled this first section, A Mature Reaction to Personal Affliction. Please stay with me here. Paul was moved. Listen, he was worried that they would be moved by his personal affliction. Let me just give you some statements and some things we can learn here. Paul was more concerned for others than he was himself. When he was going through something, he was more worried about the fact that what he was going through might have a hurtful effect on somebody else than he was worried about himself. Paul went to great lengths to provide support and comfort to those who might be moved. That's the Bible word here. Moved means to be shaken or disturbed. Moved by not their distress, not their affliction, not the satanic attacks they're suffering, but because of what he was suffering, he didn't want it to have an adverse effect in their life. He sent Timotheus to make sure that they were all right. I mean, he sent a man. He said, you go check on them. Well, what are you worried about? What are they going through? Well, they're not going through anything, but I'm afraid, you know, I love them and they love me, and I'm afraid with the things that I'm going through that this could cause their faith to be shaken. Or you know what? Watch, folks, there's a lot of times two different things happen. Watch this. Paul, listen, the devil's a liar. And during times of testing, he whispers all kinds of crazy things into the ears. And listen, if you love somebody, and they're going through a personal satanic attack or affliction, you know what? The devil can use that because of their love for you. He can use that. The devil comes up and says to them, you know, if maybe, you know, I think Paul was, let me just say this, folks. And remember, men of God are still men, and servants of God are human, and pastors are people. And you know what? Paul was a little bit afraid. Now, you can throw rocks at him if you want to, but you know what? I think he was worried that Satan was going to use this to discredit him as a man of God. Paul was afraid they'd lose faith in him, that people would start whispering things like, if Paul was truly called of God, then why is he being punished? Why is he allowed to go through this? So he was worried a little bit about the fact that they would lose faith in him, but he was more worried about the fact that they might become bitter towards God. Because if you love somebody and they go through something, you know what? Pretty soon, if you're not careful, you say, God, why? That's not fair. Well, why, God, why are you doing this? I mean, come on, God. You name somebody that's trying to do more for you than the Apostle Paul. I mean, he came to this city and he was shamefully treated at Philippi before he got here. And he was only allowed to be here 3 months and he gave him himself. He labored day and night with tears. He won us to Christ. He's gone on to do. And now we hear news that they're persecuting him again and they've got him in jail and the attacks have come. And well, come on, God, that's not fair. And we're all open to those type of things. Now, that's why Paul said, listen, I'm worried that the tempter... By some means the tempter have tempted you. The devil comes to you at times when not you're going through it, but somebody you love is going through it and begins to whisper all kinds of crazy things in your ear, and you got to be careful. Paul understood something. He said this. Now watch this, folks. If we can get this, I'm going to tell you something. You got a chance here to just grow up in the Lord. You got a chance to gain some maturity in Christ if you hear what I said. Our first reaction when we go into a personal affliction or a satanic attack, watch this, should not be concern for us. It should be concern for the people around us and the effect that this could have on them. Now, if you can get that, I've just promised you, you graduated. You can move your tassel. You're deserving of some type of a diploma because... Stay with me, look right up here. I'm going to say it. I'm sorry, I'd spend my life doing this. Most Christians never, ever take that step. Everything that comes in their life, it's woe is me. Everything that comes in their life, all they see is how it affects them. They never stop and look around and say, wait a minute, listen, I'm going to give you something here. If you listen to me, watch this. I'm going to give you something here. You've got to make a choice. When you're going through personal attacks, you've got to make a choice when you're going through a personal affliction or satanic attacks, you've got to make a choice. You can expend your energies feeling sorry for yourself, or you can expend your energies making sure others around you who are also being affected by this are okay. Now listen, there's never a person that goes through a satanic attack or a personal affliction. There's never anybody that goes through it that the other people in their lives are not also affected by it. Okay? They are. Well, then, you know, it's not all about you. Okay? Stop the all, it's all about me campaign. It's not. If there is a direct satanic attack against Pastor Jerry Ross, let me tell you something. I'm not worried as much about Pastor Jerry Ross as I'm worried about members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Even if it's not a direct attack on you, it's a direct attack on me, I'm worried that it can hurt your faith. I'll spend more energy ministering to people who could be affected than I do worrying about me who am being directly affected. Now, if you can get there, you've just grown up a lot. Okay, I'm going through a valley. Well, you don't think that valley's affecting your kids? How much time have you spent making sure they're okay? You don't think that valley serves affecting your wife? How much time, well, you don't, what do you mean how much time about, yeah, I know it's a brand new concept. Let it sink in. Well, they all should be worried about me. No, you should be worried about them. All right, are you getting this? Now, Paul, listen, I mean, he was going through it. He faced more than probably anybody at Thessalonica would ever face in their life. And you know what he was worried about? He was worried about their faith. Wanted to make sure their faith wouldn't be shaken. Paul was more concerned for others than he was himself. He went to great lengths to provide support and comfort to those who might be moved by his personal afflictions. He sent Timotheus to make sure they were all right. I got to say this just quickly. Thank God for Timothy's. Thank God for Timothy. If God didn't call me to preach, I'd go find some preacher that God had called to preach, and I'd be a Timothy to him. I mean that. You know, what does Timothy state? What are Timothys, and who are they? Let me tell you what they do. This is Timothy. Let me just summarize Timothy for you. This is what Timothy constantly would do. He'd come up and say, Paul, What is it that you long to do, but you can't find the time to do it? Let me do it for you. Paul, where is it that you long to go, but you can't free yourself to go there? Let me go for you. Paul, who is it that you long to go and minister to, but you can't free yourself to do it? Let me do it for you. By the way, thank God for the Timothys here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, because we have Timothys here. Thank God for them. Paul understood that the devil works overtime in people's lives during times of personal affliction. Not theirs, yours. The devil's a liar. The devil tempts in times of testing. When God allows one of your spiritual mentors or one of your spiritual heroes or a spiritual family member to go through a personal affliction or a attack of the devil, you know what? He uses it as an opportunity to attack not just their faith, but the people around them. He'll try to discredit them in the eyes of their friends, and he tries to discredit God in the eyes of their heart because of him allowing them to go through it. Listen, don't listen to the devil's lies. Don't listen to him. Paul had an answer to this. Look at verse number 3. He had an answer to this. He said, listen, I don't want you to be moved. I don't want you to be shaken. Verse number 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are what? Appointed thereunto. Paul did two things to prepare the people in his life around him for the times that he would go through satanic attacks. Okay? Remember what I said? You're serving God, you're going to go through satanic attacks. So he did two things to prepare them for it. First of all, he said, hey, I'm appointed to this. I'm appointed to it. What was he saying? He's saying, hey, this comes with the territory. It's just part of it. Hey, you choose the ministry, whether it's full-time, or you choose the ministry as a layman and you're going to get involved in the ministry, hey, guess what? You know what comes with it? Attacks. You stirred up the devil. Now, you go sit somewhere and don't do a whole lot for the Lord, you don't have to worry about a whole lot. I mean, you know, there'll be the reproofs of life, and there'll be the things that come to all men, but, you know, Satan's not too worried about you. But you get involved. I mean, you roll your sleeves up and get involved. You know what? You might as well buy go to Target and buy a shirt. Because you just put a bullseye on yourself. Now, you know what? You know what? My kids need to understand. My wife needs to understand. And my church needs to understand. Look right up here. You know what? I'm appointed to satanic attacks. I'm appointed to personal affliction. I'm appointed to persecution. You know why? Because I signed up for this. Hey, you know what? The army of the Lord's an all-volunteer army. It's an all-volunteer army. God's given us a free will. If you choose to be a part of it, then you chose to be a part of it. And I'm not going to, Brother Nichols, I'm not going to choose to be a part of it and then whine every time that I get shot at or hit or knocked down. It's a battlefield, brother. That's what it is. So I'm going to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church right now. You know what? Your pastor is going to suffer direct satanic attacks at times. I'm preparing you for it right now. By the way, I'm preparing you not for my sake, I'm preparing it for your sake. I don't want you to get discouraged when it happens. I don't want you to blame God when it happens. I don't want you to be angry at God when it happens. I don't want, it's part of it. Okay? I don't need you feeling sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for me. I signed up for it. I need your love. I need your support. I need your understanding during those times. But I don't need you feeling. You know what? It just comes. Hey, I'm appointed thereunto. God come and spoke to my heart. And I was sitting right back there on a Wednesday night. And the last pitch to battle between do I surrender to the gospel ministry or not. And when I stepped out, walked up here and met my dad at an altar and wept on his shoulder and told him God's called me to preach. Listen, folks, you know what? I signed up for some things. I just signed up. I'm appointed thereunto. Say, preacher, I'm a little worried about you getting involved in some of the battles. I'm appointed thereunto. Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to fight this. Somebody's got to say things through the microphone of their pulpit that most preachers won't say. Somebody's got to get on the radio. Preacher, you mean you stopped everything? And don't you know the government tracks those things? Brother, I'm on so many lists now. I don't know how they could find another list to put me on. Who cares? I mean, you know what? I am the declared enemy of Satan. You know what? I don't try to find I don't try to declare the taunt. I don't find peaceful coexistence. He hates me, I hate him. He fights me, I fight him. It's on. I'm on the Lord's side. And because of that, you know what? It's a fight. And because of that, you know what? He don't play fair. He plays dirty. And so don't be, listen. Every once in a while you're going to hear of a preacher that, you know what? The devil's unleashed a satanic attack upon him, his wife, his marriage, or his family. Okay? How are you going to react? We're going to get to that in a minute. These Church of Thessalonica, I'm going to tell you something, they were a blessing to Paul during times of satanic attack. I mean, I'm going to tell you, you want to call somebody, you want to call some preacher, you know, call preachers and tell them about this guy's in trial. Don't call me. I don't want to hear about it. Why don't you get off the phone, get on your knees and pray for that brother? I mean, he's in a war. Yeah, but I heard, well, this is going to shock you, but not everything you hear is true. But I read it on the internet. Well, that seals the deal. I mean, we all know everything on the internet's true, so. No, I mean, any moron with a keyboard and a modem can type something. Come on now. And so Paul said this. He did two things to kind of prepare them for it. First of all, he said what I just said. He said, I'm appointed there, too. And then he said this. He said, he signed up for this. He told them. He said, when I was there, I told you this would happen. What did your preacher just do? I told you it would happen. Okay? It's part of it. I'm trying to prepare you because your preacher, listen, I'm not looking for the back, I'm looking for the front lines. I want to be part of the tip of the spear. I want to be on the front lines attacking the devil. I've got so many guys my age, Brother Tom, and guys that are our age, that trained in the ministry when I trained in the ministry. And you know what they're doing? They're backing up and they're backing down and they're dropping things and they won't stand and they won't say and they won't. Listen, I may go down in a hail of bullets, but I'd rather do that and stand before God pushing to the end than I would compromising and surrendering. I have no patience with that. It's not time to back up. It's not time to lay down our arms. It's not time to get into a fetal position and suck our thumbs and pray for Jesus to come. It's time to advance. But if you're going to do that, now they say, well, that makes good preaching. Yeah, but if you're going to do that, you're advancing into a hail of bullets. Because the enemy is getting bigger and bigger weapons if you haven't noticed. But I believe something. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord is on my side. Whom should I fear? Now listen, folks, you and Jesus is a majority. I don't want that just to be the attitude of the pulpit. I want that to be the attitude of the congregation. Hey, we're going forward. We're going forward. We're going to see this thing through. Okay, we're not looking to get out. We're looking to get more in. And so Paul said two things. He said, listen. I don't want this to move you. I don't want this to discourage you. I know you love me. I know there's a connection. Paul went and he planted that church and he gave them some. I mean, read chapter 2. I told you, if you understand chapter 2, you understand the heart of ministry. And Paul loved those people and they loved him. And when they heard about this, he was scared to death the devil would come to them during that time and begin to try to discredit him, or worse, even try to discredit God and his goodness. So Paul, we see this mature reaction. There's so many other things I'd like to say there, but I want to get over to the last handful of verses here. I could call this several things. How to encourage your pastor or anyone who is experiencing a satanic attack. It's important, folks, that as I go through satanic attacks that I respond properly as your pastor. But can I say this? It's also important that you respond properly when I'm going through satanic attacks. Say, preacher, this is going to sound self-serving. Well, I went out and I looked down both streets, both roads, both ways, and tried to see if there was a preacher coming down that would come in and teach you how to do this, and nobody showed up, so I guess I'm going to have to be the one that does it. I do want to say this. Brother Nichols, we grew up, and evangelists used to come in, and you know what they'd do? They'd go to bat for the preacher, and they'd help prepare a congregation to have the preacher's back. You know what? Most guys, I'm sorry, most evangelists are pretty selfish. More worried about people liking them than they are coming in and helping the preacher and helping the church. I mean, the old-time evangelists are about gone. I'm sorry, but they are. And Bob Kelly, get all the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to come to the old tent meetings an hour before the service and just teach church members about their pastor and how to watch his back and how to take care of him, how to pray for him, and how to support him. Now, who does that anymore? So since nobody else is doing it, I guess I am tonight. But this just, listen, if you'll learn what I'm going to teach you, this just won't help you to help me. This will help you to help anybody that's going through a satanic attack. All right? Now, notice what they did here. I love this. I mean, just read this, and then you're going to pick it out. I think most of you will see the outline. It'll jump out at you. Look at verse 6, 7, and 8. And here's a group of people that got it. But now when Timotheus came from you to us. Now, let me stop there. Paul wanted to go to them. He's worried to death that the affliction that he's facing is going to discourage them. So he finally says, Timothy, you've got to go and you've got to check on them and you've got to make sure they're all right. Why? Are they under satanic attack? No, I am, but I'm afraid the devil's going to use what I'm going through to discourage them. Go check on them. Go check on them. Man, what a heart. So here Timothy goes and he spends some time and he interacts with them and he fellowships with them and he preaches to them and he comes back and he gives Paul a report. Now this is what his report is. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us, here it is, what did he bring him? Good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were what?
Comforted.
Brother Keith Gomez, I was talking to him when I was at camp last summer, and he came out and we were sitting at the table. I asked him about, I said, Brother Gomez, if this doesn't bother you to do so, I'd like to talk to you about something and get some counsel from you. I said, how in the world did you survive burying your wife? And he opened up and he began to talk to me about not only during that time when his wife was dying by inches, but he was running from a hospital room where his wife was dying to another hospital room in the same hospital where his son, who had gone through a motorcycle accident, was on the brink of life or death. And he shares this story with me. And I'm like, I listen, you're talking about roads I haven't ever trod. You're talking about a path that teach me something, brother. And he did. He taught me several things and gave me some, oh my goodness, a treasure. By the way, you're going to get to hear him preach this fall. He's coming in, Terry Angel, and they're going to tag team. And I'm going to tell you something, we're going to have a time, man. It'll be good. But he opened his heart to me and he shared some things with me. He said, when I finally got back in my pulpit, he said, I waited a few weeks and then I preached a sermon on a Sunday night from Job chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, and I'll read it to you. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Now, only Keith Gomez would go through the crucible of life, come back, and teach it, and say to his people, I'm going to preach a message to you entitled, Miserable Comforters Are Ye All. And he told me, he said, Preacher, the honest truth is, my people weren't much help to me during that time. He's not all of them. There was a few that had the maturity. There was a few that had the spirituality, or there was a few that understood the Bible, understood life enough to know how to minister to me. But he said most of their comforting attempts was actually just taxation. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's just not true in Keith Gomez's church. Most people do a miserable job of comforting you during a satanic attack or comforting you during a personal affliction. Since we're teaching in the context, most churches, church members do a miserable job of knowing how to help their pastor when he's going through what could be the battle that destroys his ministry or his life. Most church members would rather rush to the nursery and gossip about it than have any spiritual understanding about what to do about it. Most are more concerned about them than they are their preacher. I don't get that. I don't understand that. Man of God goes through an attack of the devil, I'm going to stand with him. You want to take shots at him, you take shots at him, but somebody else is taking shots at him if you haven't noticed and you just join that guy's side. Are you listening to me? Let me say this. Do you know how not to be a miserable comforter? When somebody's going through it, I mean they're going through it, and they're going through it because they're standing on the front line and they're fighting for the Lord and they're going through it. Do you have any concept on what to say or not to say, what to do or not to do? And a lot of times, here's the honest truth. Most people are afraid to say anything or do anything because they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do. Fine, I get it. But you know what? Quiet doesn't help either. Doing nothing doesn't help much. So let's take this outline I just read. Timothy came back and he brought something from them that comforted Paul over you and all our affliction and distress by faith. And if you jump down and look in verse number 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God. Whatever they did and whatever they came, listen, conveyed back through an emissary, it absolutely did not only comfort Paul, but may have absolutely brought him back from the brink of destruction and the brink of discouragement. I was talking to a pastor this afternoon. And he's a good guy. And he told me, and I mean, one of the most rock solid men in Indiana, brother, that I just think, buddy, long after everybody's quit. And he, I have no idea something was going on in his life. He called me about something unrelated. And I said, brother, how you doing? He said, preacher, I guess I'm doing okay. You know what I guess I'm doing okay means? It means I'm not doing okay. That's what it means. So I called his name. I said, brother, you know, you're talking to a friend. You don't have to tell me a thing. I know enough to pray. And he said to me, he told me some things. He said, brother Jerry, I wouldn't say this to anybody else, but he said, I was in my garage last Monday. And he said, this man's been in the ministry 30-some years. He said, last Monday in my garage, I spent the day in my garage because I couldn't be around people. And he said, I was the closest I've ever been in my life to quitting the ministry. And that was, what, 2 days ago? 2 days ago. I'm going to tell you, I'll go ahead and share this much with you. Do you know what put him in there? Unwise things said to him by his congregation. Unwise things said to his wife by his, members of his own congregation. Hey, is God using you to be an encouragement? Or is Satan using you to try to get men of God out of the ministry? Come on. All right. Now think about this, all right? Let me just give you some things. Here we go. I'll get them to you. Boom, boom, boom. We'll hit the road and go home and order pizza or do something, you know. What do you do, preacher? What do you do when somebody's experienced a personal affliction or a satanic attack? Number one, you convey good tidings. You convey good tidings. What did he bring, first of all, Timotheus? And brought us good tidings. You know what? Here's the craziest thing that happens. I promise you, if you'll think about it in your life, you're going to find out it's true in your life if you think about it. When you're going through a tough time, you know what people have a tendency to do? They come to you, sit down, and start telling you all their problems. Now, I don't know why, in any stretch of the imagination, you would think that that's somehow going to encourage somebody that's going through a tough time. Well, maybe if I just let him know how bad I got it, he won't feel like he's got it so bad. What a ridiculous approach. That is worthless. Tabby was telling me about April and what she was going through, and I don't want to share too much, but this girl, you guys know, we've tried to keep you up, but she's paralyzed. I mean, she's going through a crucible of life. She bravely tries to go back to college in a wheelchair and can't get the rest she needs in her own dorm room because girls are knocking on her door constantly to come in and tell her what the problems they're having in their life. The problems they're having in their life. I know that when I'm under a satanic attack, other people still are having problems. But do you really think that's the time I need everybody to come to me and share them? Could just for a minute you say, wow, yeah, I've got problems too, but man, my preacher, he's at risk. He's under attack. You know what? That's not all that important right now. He needs me to come and bring good tidings. You know what I need? Good news during times like that. You know what I need? Good reports during a time like that. You know what I need? Encouraging things. Listen, folks, if you go visit somebody in the hospital, don't go to the hospital and visit them and sit down and talk about for an hour about all that you're going through. They're in a hospital bed. You say, well, that don't happen. Yes, it does. You go visit the widows, the shut-ins, and you sit there for an hour and dump on a shut-in about all the terrible, you know, how your husband's not treating you right and your kids are driving you crazy and what's going wrong at the church. That's what you're going to go take to someone who's a shut-in. Miserable comforters are you. First of all, convey good tidings. Number two, watch this. Stand fast in the faith. You know what Timotheus came back and said? He said, hey, I got some good news. Paul's like, good, I need to hear it. He said, first of all, I'm going to tell you this. You wouldn't believe how strong their faith is right now. Now, folks, listen to me. I can't ask you to have a shepherd's heart. I don't expect you to. But some of you, you're involved enough in ministry, you're going to get this. But you know what? The most discouraging thing as a Christian leader when you're going through something is to have people that you hope that during, listen, if you're going to quit on God, don't do it in the middle of a battle. If you're going to move churches, don't decide to do it right in the middle of when your pastor's fighting the biggest battle of his life. We were going through one of the, I don't complain, I don't say anything about anything, and you know I don't. But we were going through one of the toughest things I've ever gone through. And I had one of the men in this church that I really believe to be a friend. And I mean, it was that Sunday where it took everything that I had to walk in the door and stand in a pulpit and carry out my duties. And at the end of that service, he said, preacher, can I talk to you? And I thought to myself, good, I need somebody to talk to. And he walks in my office and sits down and said, I thought I'd just tell you, me and my family, we're just moving down the road. And I sat there and looked at him. And I said, do you really think this is the Sunday to tell me that? He knew what was going on in my life. I said, do you really think this is the Sunday to tell me that? And he said, well, there's never a good time. Thanks. Thanks. How many of you think I slept any that night? Thanks, brother. I've been in ministries. Matter of fact, every ministry I've ever been through has been through a war one time or another. I mean, come on now. If there's a ministry that's doing something for God, there's a satanic attack that they're going to go through. I had a man tell me something, and I had such admiration for him. He said that he was a member of a church. I wouldn't tell you what church it was, but there was an attack against his church, an attack against his preacher. And you know what? During that time frame, Brother Nichols, he was offered a job in another city, a lucrative job, and had already accepted it, was planning to move his family when this attack came, and called him up and said, I can't accept the job, I can't move. And when he asked, when people asked him, I thought you were moving, he said, I can't move right now, not when my church and my preacher's in the middle of a battle. It's not time for us to leave. You know what that's called? That's called character. Read Ron Allen's book. When the bullets start flying, remember the lieutenant that he was, that ran away two times during a battle, and Ron Allen, a buck private, came over to him and said, I'm just telling this between me and you. The next time there's a battle, if you take off running and hiding, I'll find you afterwards and I'll kill you myself. You say, well, he wasn't saved. Yeah, but sometimes I kind of like something about some guys that aren't quite saved, you know. Or I kind of like having a few guys in my church, and you know who you are, who are saved but yet as by fire, you know, and every once in a while, you sure come in handy, man. I mean, I'm not even saying that you shouldn't be better, but just don't lose all that, okay? Because my good friend, and I, you know, I don't know why he popped into my mind, but some of you met Brother Bill a few times. Bill Spriggs, my buddy that comes, and Bill's saved, but I don't know by how much he saved. And every once in a while, he'll call me up and he'll say, you doing okay? And I'll say, yeah. And he'll say, what's going on, preacher? And he knows me. And I can't talk to him by around here, so I talked to him. And he always says this. He said, let me just tell you something. I don't know why he says this, but he said, let me tell you something. He said, for a sack of White Castles and $5, I'll drop in and take out anybody you need taken out. for a sack of White Castles and $5. Y'all just remember that because I know where there's a White Castle and I got $5. He's not very saved, Brother Nichols, but I still kind of like that he's around, you know. But there ought to be something in every man that just says this. You know what? Somebody messes with my church and my preacher, they done mess with me. They done mess with me. And you know what? Anybody that would look at a satanic attack that a preacher's going through it and turn it into an opportunity for them to advance their rebellion or make a spill. You know what? Let me tell you something. I got no respect for them. I don't care if it's this ministry or some other ministry. I don't care what the circumstances are. I'm sorry. There's a time to stand, and there's a time to move if it's under God's direction, but it's not in the middle of a battle. You don't take off running in the middle of a battle. I'm trying to help you here. You know, folks, people going through tough times, I'm just not talking about your pastor. I'm talking about anybody. Man, you know what they need to hear? Good tidings. You know what they need? You know the most, let me tell you, the biggest encouragement that I've received during tough times here as a pastor is just showing up to church and seeing people faithfully standing where they belong, in their place, doing their job, not missing a beat. That has encouraged me more than anything else in my ministry. Watch this. Number three, express your love. I got to hurry. Convey good tidings. Stand fast in the faith. Express your love. And brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. You say, preacher, I don't know what to say. I'm going to tell you this. When somebody's going through a satanic attack, you know what they need? They need to be assured that they're still loved. I'm going to tell you something. The devil tells you some crazy things when you're going through the crucibles of life. He'll start telling you that nobody loves you, and then he'll start telling you that God don't love you. And pretty soon, you feel pretty unloved. And this has been several years ago, and it was something that was going on in our lives that I don't think ever affected the church, but it affected us. But there was a few people that knew what we were going through. And there was a little girl, and I won't tell you who she is. There's a little girl here that came to school here years ago, and I was a supervisor and principal of the school back then. And she heard that me and my wife was going through a tough time. And from another state, she heard about it. Man, well, how'd she hear about, I guess, something called Facebook, I guess. I don't know. It's like, man, I can hiccup in Indiana, and they know it in California before I can hardly get my breath back, you know. And I went to the mailbox and opened a letter, and I hadn't seen or heard from this girl in probably 15 years, and she wrote sweetest, kindest note. And you know what? Didn't even mention, watch this, didn't even mention the circumstances of our problems. Say, how do you know that she knew? Because I think that's what prompted her to sit down. She didn't mention the problem. She didn't mention the crisis. All she did was just say, preacher, I love you. And you meant so much to me. And you changed my life. You taught me some things. I want you to know I'm praying for you. Okay? That'll do 100,000 more better things than anything else you can come up with. You know what? You know what people need to know sometimes when they're going through it? They just need to know, hey, listen, I don't know, I don't feel comfortable about saying it. Well, get comfortable saying it. Yes. Nothing wrong with, I'm not talking about you going to some other's wife and saying it, but you know what? As Christians, brothers and sisters, listen, I ought to be able to go up to Brother Joe and say, brother, I love you, especially during a time when I know he needs to hear those words. Yes. Now, if I got to saying it every time he left here, I'd want somebody to talk to me, okay? Because I don't really want to hear it from any of you on a regular basis. Brother, come on now. There's times when we just need to have somebody say, listen, preacher, I love you. Listen, I know what you're going through, church member. I love you. And don't forget it. God loves you. And I know the devil's telling you different, but he's a liar. Well, I don't know what to say. Well, those are pretty good words to say. How about this? What else did he bring him? Watch this. And that you have good remembrance of us always. Share memories of good times. You know what they did? They didn't really talk much about the present. You know what they did? When Timothy got there, they started telling, let me give them this one. They started telling Paul stories about when Paul showed up in to Thessalonica, when Paul showed up and where they met him and how God brought them together and crazy stories. And you know what they were doing? They were sharing good memories of, watch this, good memories of a better time. You know what, Paul? He didn't really want to talk about what's going on right now. What he needed was to be reminded that God has used you in the past and some wonderful things have happened. And you know what? When you hear enough of that, you start thinking, you know what? Maybe God's not done. Maybe there's some of that ahead too, and that's an encouragement. Number five, give them your presence. Desiring greatly to see us. You know what Paul was so excited about? He said when Timothy came back, he didn't only share a good tidings, he didn't talk about your strong faith. He didn't tell me how much, didn't just tell me how much you love me and that you're remembering the good memories, but you know what he told me? He told me that you guys wish with all your hearts you could see me. Now, folks, listen to me. When people are going through the crucibles of life, you know what? They never forget who's there during the mountain peaks of their lives and the deepest valleys of their lives. And sometimes, folks, it's not about saying anything. It's about walking in the door and sitting down beside somebody and just being there. Just reaching over and squeezing their arm and just, you know what? It's not a matter of saying anything. It's just you being there. Cheryl mentioned to me the other day, she's talking, we were trying to figure out the first time that y'all had come to Blessed Hope and actually come to the church. And I think Tabitha was talking to about it too, because we were saying, we need to get them out the house. I don't think they've ever been in the house. And Tabby said, well, the first time they came to the church is when Papa passed away. And you know what? I remembered that. I mean, you know how it is, folks? You've been in that line. Come on. You've been in the line, and you've been the receiving end of that line. And you know what? After it all happens, and my goodness sakes, we stood here on a Thursday night and for hours, and so many people, and we had on Friday night and Saturday for the funeral, those two services, we had over 50 preachers show up at this church to pay respects to my dad. And you know what? I may not be able to list them all right now, but if you mention their name, I'll say, yeah, you know what? They were there that night. And both, you know, I had guys, watch this. I had friends of mine get on an airplane, fly to Indianapolis, rent a car, come down here, stand in a line, and have to stand in a line for an hour to have 30 seconds to squeeze my hand, hug my neck, and tell me that they love me, and walk out that door and get back in their car and go back to an airport and fly. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Oh, I don't know. Not for a friend. I got a good friend in ministry, and he lost his dad here a while back, and I heard that the funeral was going to be in Michigan. It was, by the way, it was going to be on a Wednesday. And I missed a Wednesday night service at Blessed Oak Baptist Church, so I could walk in. He didn't know I was coming. And as soon as he saw me, he just started weeping. You know what he said? He said, I knew you'd be here. I knew you'd be here. I wish I could be everywhere that I needed to be, and sometimes circumstances make it so you can't. But you know what? Even if you couldn't get there, and they didn't get to Paul, did they? But it was conveyed that they desired greatly to see him. And you know what? Just the fact that somebody wants to be with you during those times is a big deal. All right, let's finish up. Number six, stand fast in the faith. How do you encourage your pastor or anyone who's experienced a satanic attack? Convey good tidings, stand fast in the faith, express your love, share memories of good times, give them your presence, and look at verse number eight. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. That's the sixth point. Stand fast in the Lord. Listen, don't quit. Don't quit. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. And the result of this, we see Paul in verse number nine. I'll read verse nine and then we'll quit. Paul concludes this little portion of scripture by saying this, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy, for your sakes before our God. You know, there's going to be, listen to me and I'm done, there's going to be some pretty amazing men and women that stand at the great, not the great white throne judgment, stand at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be some men and some preachers and some missionaries, some evangelists and their wives and some laymen. I mean, some people that God used both from the pew and the pulpit in an amazing way. They're going to be. But let me tell you who else I think is going to get great reward that we don't understand. For every missionary, every preacher, every evangelist, every man of God that stands there and is rewarded for what God used him to accomplish, There's going to be some other people that get up to the line. And God is going to reward them with a fair share of the reward of that man. You know why? Because I promise you this is true. Every man in the line had four or five or six times when everything was on the line. Preacher, last Monday I was in my garage. I'm going to get to that guy. I talked to him for a while on the phone, but I need to get to him. He's hurt, right? I don't even know everything's going on, but when a man that's been in the ministry 30 years tells me 2 days ago he was as close as he's ever been to quitting the ministry, I got to get to that guy. Oh, but preacher, you're busy. Well, you know what? Sometimes you just need to stop. Because you see, here's the thing. I may not get to accomplish all the things he still has ahead of him to accomplish, but I can be the one that encouraged him and kept him in it so that he could accomplish it. And a lot of times we hear the big names in the ministry and we don't realize it may have been in that man's church a widow's note. When that preacher was, I mean, he was all the barrels, all the weaponry of hell was printed at the preacher. And you know what? Preachers aren't going to come in and say, oh, I just want you all to pray. You know, you know what? We just bear it. But God woke somebody up at night and said, write your preacher a note. Well, I'm tired. Write your preacher a note. Well, I don't know what to know. Just if God says to do something, whether it's a preacher or somebody else, just do it. You have no idea. If God wakes you up and tells you that, there's a reason. God ever woke you up in the middle of the night and said, pray for your preacher? Brother, get on your knees and pray. Your prayer may mean the difference between whether or not you have a preacher a week from that day. Okay, I'm trying to teach you something. A lot of you kids, you know what? You're going to have a lot of other pastors before your life's over if God tarries. I'm not being self-serving. I'm telling you, you take what I'm teaching you right now and you use it in every ministry God ever puts you in, because there's things going on and the devil's busy. And a man alive, Brother Paul, got Timothy back, and he comes in and he says, and he's scared to be nervous. If I could forbear it, I got to send Timothy. And they can't get on the cell phone. You know, they can't send a telegram. And he's waiting. Here comes Timothy. And he said, are they okay? Are they okay? And he sits down. And listen, what Paul summarized right there in that verse, those things, probably took hours. And can you see Paul as he's laughing and rocking and weeping and praying? And they said that. And you know what? By the time Timothy got done giving the report from these people, Paul says, you know what? Yeah, it's been tough, but let's take another swing at it. Let's go to the next town. God's still got something ahead. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace tonight, Lord, helping this poor preacher teach something that's really honestly difficult. Lord, I pray, dear God, want anybody walk out of here accusing the preacher of not understanding that everybody has problems. I think I've said that several times. But Lord, give us wisdom in our life. I pray, dear God, every church member, something was conveyed to them of great importance tonight. I've seen preachers crash and burn, and I've watched church members almost giddy with gossip. But I think to myself, when we stand before God, it isn't just one person going to answer for that. Help us to be spirit sensitive enough and selfless enough. And Lord, just guide us. Give us the insight to know. I don't know how to explain it. To know, to listen to the whisper of your spirit when a name comes to mind, or maybe someone we haven't thought about in a long time, and they all of a sudden we can't get them off our heart. And something comes across our desk and it reminds us of a brother, and God just won't let it go away. I pray that we'd be sensitive enough to understand there's a great ministry of encouragement that's needed amongst the ranks of the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be busy doing it, we pray.